And he joins us regularly on this show, Bernie Kosar. Bernie, so much to talk about here. This team is on an official roll, three games in a row, victory streak, and just starting to look like a very different team than the one we saw earlier in the season. What is jumping out to you about the Browns that we've seen over these last few weeks?
Well, first, being in the NFL, and any time you could string together three wins like this, you know the atmosphere at Berea, how much better it feels. You know that the systems put in place is working, the players, the routine, it's all kind of coming together. And especially at this point in the season, to be able to win games like this and put strings together like this really shows that these young kids, you know, are meant to be in the league and are maturing and getting more experience. Because you see a lot of times those rookies hit the rookie wall right before this period. Instead, we went the other way. We kept expanding and kept getting better and kept making more plays. And that was probably as many plays that were specifically made on the field this past Sunday than we've had in quite a while.
We're looking at this offense, Bernie, and on a day when really the defense rules holding the opponent to 7 points other than that first bad play, what we saw was, you know, nothing overwhelming in the passing game, but a lot of efficiency and plays are being made where Josh Gordon, Greg Little, Ben Watson, receivers are getting open again with a lot of green around them, and they can do something afterward. And the running game, too, it has been persistent. Not a lot of yards, but moving piles and getting in the end zone.
Well, there's no doubt this past weekend the offensive game wasn't sexy. But because of the way I think the NFL works, and the only thing that really matters is a W, and not how I look and not what my individual stats are, it's getting the W. You know, that whole game, basically, after we got, yeah, they had the first play at 7-0, but pretty soon it's 10-7, we have the lead. And the way the flow of the game was going didn't call for the offense to be overly aggressive or overly risky, so in turn, you know, took advantage of it, played it very standard, but it also didn't make many mistakes and took advantage of things and had that double score lead most of the game, which kind of put the pressure back on Kansas City's offense, and Brady Quinn had a lot of trouble with the way that tough defense played.
Brandon Whedon, his performance was one where, sure, there were some shaky things, some passes knocked down, some near interceptions, but he was resilient. He, as he was the week before, continuing to lead this team and march it downfield. And, you know, Bernie, we talk about it each week where you can find something in his game that you could admire. I see a guy who, that word resiliency comes up, and I just see a guy who's unfazed by the bad things. That's really got to be a quarterback's mantra.
Well, I think he's been going to church with me to get Barry to drop that one ball and find the one guy with a broken hand who can't catch. But his maturity's coming out. There's no doubt his confidence. And I think sometimes, too, when a play doesn't go well or doesn't go the way he wants it, I think he has that quarterback amnesia, and he's able to move forward to the next play. And that type of maturity definitely comes across. And that's a real positive.
The other impressive thing for a guy who did not work with tight ends in his collegiate career at Oklahoma State, he's finding, again, Ben Watson. He finds Jordan Cameron on occasion as well. It just seems like he's getting more of a comfort zone, because even though this offense doesn't feature that position in the passing game, it's becoming an integral part of it. You know, with the way the ball is spread out, five different people catch passes this week. I think it was seven the week before. And when you have Josh Gordon and Greg Little doing what they do, it's opening up those things underneath for tight ends, for running backs to catch passes.
Well, this is definitely the wave of the league. Back about 3, 4, 5 years ago, when the league, Bill Belichick really started having the confidence to put these big guys, these fast guys, not around the line of scrimmage anymore. They line up now. You see some of the Cameron, the way he lines up, he's lined up as a receiver. Ben Watson lined up wide out as a receiver, trying to create as many mismatches as possible and or isolations as possible. And we have that here in Cleveland. And I think now Cameron being a little younger, Ben Watson, who didn't have really any training camp. Took him a while for him, I think, Brandon Wheaton, to get on the same page. But you can see they feel comfortable with each other. And I think the different multiple formations and personnel groups is confusing the defense sometimes and allowing to get these guys in open territory.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, Trent Richardson, again, that running game that you have to have that persistence, right? You have to give the defense a reason to believe in play action, and you certainly have to give 33 all those opportunities because he can still do something special with the ball, even if he's not generating a lot of yards per carry. I want to see him be more explosive, and I'm guessing that some of that is just learning it in the NFL as he's maybe also, you know, hopefully it's not the ribs things that's nagging him, because he would never say that. But, you know, overall, I just think that there's – this dimension is opening up some other things for this offense, and always when you're driving, I say always, I mean often when they're driving, you know, the guy's getting in the end zone. 10 touchdowns, a great stat for him to put him in the Browns record book. 9 rushing touchdowns as well, tying Jim Brown's record.
Yeah, you stole my fact there. I was ready to break that out. you can't convince me that Trent Richardson is not playing just on pure toughness. You know, he's had 2 knee surgeries now in 9 months. He's had the rib issue. He's a rookie. I think he's just a tough kid, and he's gutting it out. And I like the way he does get the ball in the end zone, again, with the 10 touchdowns like you talked about. And I'm impressed with you could see his athleticism's there. He's definitely tough. But his body's been through a whole lot in the last, say, 18 months.
And Bernie, when you look at the completeness of that 30-7 win over the Chiefs, and when you look really at the completeness of this team, we have to talk about special teams, and not just Phil Dawson or not just some really good coverage, but now a game-breaking return with Travis Benjamin taking that 93-yarder for a Browns record length in terms of return and getting a touchdown on that, and then the strategy that went behind that as well, from Chris Tabor.
Well, you're not gonna let me get away without talking about the Hurricane there making that play. But a lot of credit and intelligence goes to the coaching staff and Coach Tabor on that play. I mean, not to get overly into it, but to have Josh Cribbs be the deep return guy, run up to the opposite side that Travis Benjamin was going to block the gunner, as Travis Benjamin is running back to be the return guy. Josh Cribbs is running up to do a punt block. And I think that turned the Kansas City focus into, okay, lock down a little bit longer, follow Cribbs, let's block him, let's not give up a block punt at this point in the game. And it gave him just enough of a step or two to get started. And then the moves that he made was just spectacular to take it for, I think, a yard longer than Eric Metcalf did years ago.
Yeah, just incredible speed from this guy. And he told, again, he's told me afterward, I've said this on the show, that he said that's the first of many. I think he really believes that. I think he's got that kind of confidence.
Wow, that's the kind of thing you want to hear from a young guy like that, that he believes in himself. I'm just not going to rest on my laurels and rest on my past. I believe I can keep making plays like that.
Interesting challenge coming up against the Washington Redskins, because, you know, part of this week at least, there's going to be the uncertainty as to who is playing quarterback. Robert Griffin III suffering that knee injury last week against the Ravens, and Kirk Cousins finishes that game and leads the Skins to that overtime win. But as far as preparing for these two guys, two very different quarterbacks, you're preparing for either Griffin and the option offense that he runs and that pistol attack, or with Cousins, who is obviously not that kind of athlete, so it's going to be a very different thing. How do you see the Browns handling that?
Well, I actually think it doesn't matter. And I think that how you prepare this week, whether it's RG3 or Cousins, because no matter what anybody says, RG3 has a first-degree problem with this LCO. They're not. Coach Shanahan is not going to risk his whole future by running him around and running all kinds of options in Cleveland Stadium if he decides to play this Sunday. There's no way that they're going to risk his future career by doing, now they may do one or two in crucial situations, but there's no way they're going to run their future, their franchise guy, they're going to run him all around the field against this defense in our stadium. There's no way.
All right. Well, great stuff, Bernie, as always, and we will check in with you again next week.
Sounds great.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.